but here I am. Amen. You know, it's like whack-a-mole. I may have missed New Year's Eve service, but it was in my heart. I got a chance to see it, and I can't imagine not being here, but God knows. And but I wasn't going to let him rob me of a testimony. So I'm back one more time. I thank God I made it back one more time in the New Year's. You know, I may not have been able to say that, you know, I was going to finish it out in church. But Lord willing, yes, I am starting it out here. Amen. Lord, yes. And Lord willing, I'll be able to say that at the end of the year, this year. Amen. Lord willing. And I just trust God that he'll just lead me all the way through. I just thank him for an opportunity. You know, it's when you don't have something and you crave it, boy, I tell you, I missed several services, but yes. God knows. And I just couldn't see myself not being here this evening. Amen. You know, I've got to hear the word, but I got to hear it in person. Yes. I got to hear it live. Yes. I got to see what God's doing, because as much as it's nice it is being able to see it online, it's just not the same. I wanted to feel everything. I wanted to feel the anointing. Amen. I wanted to feel what God had to say in person. Amen. You know, I wanted to be able to shake God's hand and skin.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Not, you know, yes. I mean, it was wonderful. I saw you guys had a wonderful time. But I wasn't there, and I felt cheated. But again, Lord knows. But you just don't know the joy that I have right now.
Amen.
Just being in the midst. Oh, it's a wonderful feeling. Amen. And I'm just so thankful that I have another chance just to say, Lord, thank you. Amen. I'm here. You. Count me. And like Brother Moore said, we got work to do. Well, I'm rolling up my sleeves, and we'll get it done. Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
I didn't make it New Year's either, but my wife was sick. But I wanted to be here. I watched it online. Christmas Eve, I was trying to get some last minute stuff done. And this girl ran me off into a snowdrift. Well, these new cars, you can't rock them anymore because you got a dial.
Oh, really?
And it don't rock.
No.
And I'm sitting there going, well, there's got to be a reason for this. So the girl that ran me off into the ditch or into the snowdrift, she got out and was apologizing all over, saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. She tried to push me out. A little skinny girl trying to push me out. And she finally, after 10 minutes, gave up and said, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. I said, don't worry about it. Well, between, and then 10 minutes later, she came back again to see if I was okay. And then she apologized again, and then she went on her way. All together, eight people stopped to try to help me get unstuck. But the last three that came pushed me out. God was not going to let me leave until all eight of those people stopped to help me. So all eight of those people have eternal life because they tried to help God get unstuck. Now I know the reason why it happened, because I never get stuck.
Amen.
I know how to drive in the snow. But that girl ran me off the road, you know, and it happened the way it was supposed to. I kind of got a thrill out of that, kind of reestablished my faith in humanity. Because there are good people still out here that are willing to help you. And I even had a guy come out of the bar and say, I'll see if I can get some of my buddies out here, and we'll see if we can push you out. I'll be right back. Well, he never came back. So I guess his buddies didn't want eternal life. Anyway, I just wanted to share that, and I'm glad to be here. And I hate missing church, and I don't miss church unless there's a sickness. But other than that, I'm glad I'm here.
I just wanted to get up because I'm just really happy to be here. Yeah. There's no place else I would rather be. I ran to this place, so to speak, today. Just, you know, I've been untouchable for a little while, but today I got something that kind of stumped me pretty hard, and it got me. And I was just the whole time asking God, just help me look at it right. Because tonight, you know, if you don't give me my answer now, I'm going to get it tonight. Right. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, things will happen really, really rough on Wednesdays. It just seems like Wednesdays, it's like, it's a fight, you know? Yeah. And I didn't ask for it, but it is what it is. But I'm glad I have a place to come to where I get answers, and I get to see like-minded brothers and sisters go through this life and overcome. So when I hear your testimonies, when I hear things like that, to hear the ministry preach and talk as strong as they do, there is nothing for me to be worrying about. There's nothing for me to fear, because my footsteps were ordered, and he foreknew me, you know. And what I realized with what happened, I won't go into details. I found myself throwing myself at this person's feet, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't even have an answer for him, for me, for nothing. And sometimes God will put you in a situation where you just have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. But I'm glad I got a brother that's been walking this thing with me. And, you know, poor guy, he tried to encourage me the best he could all day. But it just, you know, when you got things running through your mind, how do you deal with it? You know, sometimes it's just a little bit too much. And you could speak positive, you could speak the word, throw it out there, but it doesn't change how you feel about it. And I wanted to just be over it. I was ready to just let it go. But sometimes we just don't let things go. And what I got out of it is, the more that you surrender, the more he can take control. Amen. And if I said anything, I wanted to sing that song right now, because that's my testimony. Because the more that you decrease, the more he can increase and take control. Full control. That's all he wants to do. Sometimes that's a little hard for us to really get through our thick skulls, but I'm just speaking to myself, you know. And I'm going to back my mail from where I'm at, you know. So I just wanted to sing that song. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my hands, the more you take you live.
surrender. The lighter my load, the more that I can release my cares, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more
to be back.
Amen.
Good to be starting a new year.
Yeah.
Anxious to see what the Lord has.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about that song. You know, the more I surrender.
Yes.
The more he.
Yes.
The more I, the more he.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, we sit there and think, well, God already seen it. God knows what we're going to do, but do what you want to do. Amen. Want more of him. Get more of him. Surrender
right.
More.
Amen.
You know the formula. You know how it works. You know the prescription.
Submit yourself.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we wait for God to move first, but he's waiting for you to move.
That's right.
Amen. I want to sing page 98 in the Only Believe book. Our Lord's return.
Amen.
I'm watching. This year more than ever.
Yeah.
Yes. Expecting.
Yes.
Amen.
I am watching for the coming of that glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch and pray for back will be the answer to earth's sorry cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth and sea and sky. God shall take away all sickness and the suffering tears will dry. When our Savior will come back to earth again. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, a thousand years will have no temper then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy. And in all this holy mountain, nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart and love without alloy. After Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Shall come back to earth again. sorrow, pain, and death of this dark world shall cease. In a glorious reign with Jesus of a thousand years of peace, all the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release. For our Jesus shall come back to earth again.
Good to be back. Enjoyed New Year's Eve service. It was my 25th one.
Yes.
A lot of people I know. 25 years is my 25th year here. I'm excited about it. And you know, Brother Moore talked about leadership, and I thought about that, how the difference between the rich young ruler and Moses, and how Moses had to give up everything.
Not
just a little.
No.
He had to give up everything.
Okay.
And I was thinking about that today, about leadership, and I just thought about that centurion. And I'm just going to read a couple things. And it's in Matthew 8, 5 through 10. It says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, 'Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented.' And Jesus said unto him, 'I will come and heal him.' And, and the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this and he doeth it.' And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said unto them that followed, 'Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.'" And I was just thinking about that today, and I thought about this body. No, Jesus is trusting us. He's told us he wants them to get up. And I just believe that. We're going to speak that, and I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's the way it works.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Lead us on, Lord.
It's good to be back.
Amen.
Amen.
Tell you what, when, when you're down now, my health is pretty bad after a New Year's service. Satan was attacking me hard, but you know what, I'm back, so that's all I can say. You know what, you can appreciate when you have good health. You know, you do. You take it for granted when you're down, like, goodness gracious. But I thank God for being here, and, you know, the leadership, like you guys were talking for the last couple of weeks, is good because it helped me out in my life with leadership. I mean, even on jobs and things of that sort. You know, when you have authority like that, it's always good to just follow leadership, because if they've already been in the later path, it makes your life so much easier. And like Pastor Moore said, you can't be a good leader without following.
Right.
You have to, and you know, that's a good thing that it is. And it helped me out in my life a lot, because if somebody has the answer and you don't know it, just listen to them.
Amen.
Just listen. And you got to, but the key about it, though, you have to know that God's there, though. That's the thing.
There you go.
If you don't know if God's there and you just up in here doing that, you're never going to follow leadership at all. And I thank God that I know what leadership is.
Amen.
I don't have to wonder about it at all. I mean, this place has been... it's a haven. I say that every single time, and I mean that. This place is a diamond in the rough, and I thank God about that. I thank God for this place. I mean, this place is just is everything. It really is. And the last thing I want to do, I want to know if we can sing, "Lord, I Need to Change."
Yeah.
That's it.
Sure.
Amen.
Yeah, you sing it. That's what I want.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we do. That's what we're looking for.
Amen.
More than ever.
Yes,
you know, the Bible says a righteous man falls seven times and riseth up again.
Yeah.
A righteous man.
Yes.
It's to be expected.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't forget, it riseth up again.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
I know.
Our hearts are simple.
Yeah. I've been singing it ever since South Carolina. So. Amen.
Amen.
It's one we need to learn.
Yes.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. This place, the same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change. Somebody can sing it.
Lord, I need you now. Than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change.
Let's sing that again. Hallelujah.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before.
Hallelujah.
I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change.
Lord, I need you now. Help me sing it.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change.
Help me sing it one more time, please. Hallelujah.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I a change. Oh, before I leave, Lord, I need a change.
now. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come here humbly asking you to have your way with the service. You've touched the testimonies. Lord, touch the word as we open it before you. Bless the hearer and the speaker. Let it be edifying and uplifting. That's what we come here for, Lord. A reminder of who we are. Lord, we know there's some prayer requests out there, spoken and unspoken. I see my sister Sway. Lord, touch her. I want her to leave here better than she came here. Lord, touch the Brinkman family. Lord, touch Kara. Lord, I want to see Sister Dawn touched. Lord, I'm praying still for Brother Trevor. Lord, just bless Sister Anna. I want her eyes to be open. I don't ever want to be remiss, Lord. You said anything I ask in your name, you'll grant it. Lord, we're asking you to bless the most important part of the service, hearing of the word. That's why we're here. Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here. It is really good to be here. And a couple people said they didn't make it to New Year's. Sorry. I was here. You got to give your own testimony. We say that all the time. Brother Isaiah said, back your mail from where you're at. I got to make it, so I can tell you how good it was. I had a good time. When you were watching me on tape, you saw me running around. When you were watching me on video, you saw me singing. When you were watching, you saw me crying. The anointing was high in here. The spirit was high, and I had a good time. So I understand that, you know, if you missed it, we still got to do our part, though. You expected the service to be on when you turned in. You expected preaching to happen when you turned it on. You expected singing to happen. So we had to do our part. You know, you did your part. You went out there, and, you know, the brother was talking about even being out on the side of the road or being in different places, and he had to do his part. I expected him to do this part. I expected him to see the will of God moving in his life, regardless of what the circumstances was. He's on the side of the road or in the service of God. You got to do your part. So my part tonight is to preach. I'm looking forward to it. It's crazy that you wanted that song, Brother Kevin, because I was singing that while I was sitting over there, just humming it to myself, just thinking. And even when you said, let's sing it, I was like, oh, I already know where. I've been thinking about the words, because I was like, I'm going to know where those words are. I'm going to grab them when it's time for me to get up there. And then you start singing, and I was like, well, I guess I just won't sing that song. And then you got me up, and I was like, well, here we go. And this guy just vindicating his thing. It was like, that was that inward voice telling me what he wanted to hear, and God made a way for it, you know. Sometimes we try to push it off on God and say, if God makes a way, well, he made a way. He gave you legs, he gave you feet, gave you arms, gave you a voice. That's the way, you know, that's the way. So that's how it's going to happen, you know. I could come to church and go, if God makes a way, well, he made a way. He already made a way. I'm here right now. And that's his way. That's his provided way. He's pleased to dwell here. So I'm looking forward to what God's got to bring. And, you know, Pastor Moore, you brought an excellent service to that leadership message. And Brother Jeremiah got in there. And I went back in there and was listening to Brother Branham's leadership message and Pastor Moore's message. And Brother Branham is where I got my context for tonight. So we're staying right in there. But, you know, even Brother Kevin's testimony was just vindicating it as more. He said, because even in that book, Brother Kevin, Brother Branham says in the leadership message, this is the one of December, he says, you know, the context is going to be follow me, but it's leadership. Amen. They go together. You can't even be expected to be a good, I wouldn't even think you're going to be a good leader if you don't know how to follow. That's the only way that you can be a leader, is that you learned how to follow. You know, you got to first understand what leadership is, and you got to recognize it in somebody else. You don't just come out the womb a leader. You got to be taught even how to lead. You know, you talk about even a company. You know, sometimes they make mistakes and they hire people outside to lead, and you need somebody that has been led to lead. You know, so if we got to question your leadership skills sometimes, but, you know, that's out there in the world. And here, God makes sure that he brings us up under tutors and governors. You know, I wouldn't even expect somebody to be able to preach if he hadn't heard somebody preach it. I wouldn't expect you to know where God is at unless somebody revealed it to you. You know, so that's how this works. So I'm looking forward to it. But in the service, we had a good time, and I was really proud of the body and how everything went together. We were really blessed, and I got touched. My family came and sang with me, so I enjoyed that as well. That was always good. And I, you know, when you're in the moment of those kind of things, you don't really get to appreciate it. But I got to look back. My mom took a picture, and my kids were actually singing. And I was like, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. Because you know what? The only thing that would disappoint me more is if I take this thing seriously, I'm up here giving my life, and you come up here and half do it.
Amen. Right.
That's a disappointment. You never sing it. I'd rather you not do something than half do it. I'd rather you not even come up here and half give me something. Don't half cook food. You'll kill me. I want it cooked all the way. Right? Like if you half cook chicken, you'll kill somebody. I don't need your salmonella up here. Don't bring me half. You don't want a half testimony. I don't want a half song. You don't want half preaching. I don't want half singing. So when I got to look back and see my kids doing it, that made me proud. I was like, there we go. That was good to see. So I was happy to see that. But you know, they're following their leader. I didn't half sing. I didn't have to have the words. I knew what I was going to do, and we did it. So I appreciate that, but I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, let's get into this thing. And I'm talking about, I'm getting in here, because even at the start of that, Brother Branham, that's where the quote is, where he says, a bricklayer, you can't even be a good mason if you don't know how to turn a corner. You can't turn a corner. It's in that same book, and I had never knew where it was, but I'm learning more and more every service. I appreciate the brother's reference in the books, and I get to go back in there and look in there and do those kind of things. But, you know, Brother Branham was talking about how, you know, God has turned a corner in each age. He was turning a corner. And God's, we're turning a corner. Amen. We turned a corner even how we look at things. And, you know, there was a, I'd say if I was going back and just thinking about myself, you know, one of the corners that God turned when he said, just live. You know, that was a turning of a corner. And a lot of people didn't turn with that corner. They was like, no, I don't know if he means just live like you're saying. And it's like, well, I'm saying it how he said it. He said, just live. He wants whatever's in you to come out. If you're filthy, be filthy still. You know, if you're clean, be clean still. But whatever's in you, just come it out. But, you know, so we, you know, a lot of people couldn't turn that corner. But, you know, God is just letting us know that, you know, even in that service, he was talking about even how, you know, there's only one thing on our, that we have left to do. You know, don't put anything else on there. Don't try to add anything to it. That's another corner, because everybody else is adding stuff. They're adding things to what, and God is removing things. You know, God is saying, no, don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. And you go, well, what were you talking about, Brother Jay? Well, I'm saying that, so oftentimes you'll go to a church and they'll put on rules that you have to do. They'll put on traditions that you got to live up to. They'll put on, whether it's clothing, whether it's how you sit, how you stand. They'll put those things on you as if that's for salvation. And that's not the case.
Amen.
You must be born again, period. It, the rich young ruler or Moses, both of them had to be born again. Right. If the rich young ruler would have did what God told him to do, he would have been okay. Moses did what God told him to do, so he was okay. There's got to be an inward teacher that agrees with that outward teacher, and then God can honor that. But if you don't have that inward teacher, then you'll never be able to recognize the out one. You know, so I look at all these things and I go, my goodness, you know, so let's read over scripture and we'll get into this. I'm excited about this, and the thing I'm going to be talking about is the inward teacher tonight. So over in Luke chapter 18, Pastor Moore read this. It was chapter 18, verse 18. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you started with that passage, Pastor Moore, and then you read down and talked about that. And I thought, but it talks about it right there. It's, what shall I do to get that inheritance? How can I make myself worthy for that inheritance? What's the inheritance? Eternal. The greatest gift that God gave us was eternal life. Right. That's what he was asking for, was eternal life. The gift that we have is eternal life. But how do you get that gift? You know, and I was talking to my mom the other day, maybe been a day or yesterday, whatever. Talk about, there's two big things that break up families. It's a marriage or death. Whenever there's a transfer of an inheritance, there's some problems.
Right.
There's people that want an inheritance that don't deserve it, or people that want an inheritance that are not part of the family. You know, so I looked into that. Let me find it. Let's pull it here. Basically, an inheritance, if I can't get it pulled up here, I'll do my best. An inheritance is, it refers to an assets of an individual bequeathed to their loved ones when they pass away.
Right.
Jesus died for us.
Amen.
That guaranteed our inheritance.
Amen.
But he's given it only to his loved ones.
Right. That's it.
What can you do to become one of the loved ones? Nothing. You must be born in the family.
Amen.
That's got to be born into the family. There's nothing. You can't become a Pickens because you're so nice to me.
No.
I don't care how good you treat me. I don't how nice, how many cups of water you bring me in that sense. To be a part of my family, you have to be born into it.
Amen.
There is no good works. There's no good living. You can build a hospital and put my name on it. You can put money in my account. That does not make you part of my family. But we're part of God's inheritance.
Amen.
See, the world will look at John 3:16 and say, he so loved the world that he gave.
Right.
No, he loved his own.
Right.
They put the whole world out there. I can look at my wife and say, you're my world. I look at my kids and say, you're my world. I love my world. That's what he gave eternal life for. He didn't give it for those that don't love him. Just his own. You know, and you can even go over into that. We can even go over to Matthew, where it goes over into Matthew 7 and 22 and 23. It says, many will say unto the Lord, we have done this in your name. Lord, 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 we cast out demons. We prophesied. We did all this in your name. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Wait, hold on now.
Amen.
So they did all these good things. They prophesied, cast out demons in the name of God. In his name.
Right.
And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Right.
I never knew you.
Amen.
Then you get a little old me over here.
Wow.
That does what I do.
Right.
And he can't help but to keep falling in love with me over and over and over again.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when he comes and looks at me, he says, there's my son James, who I'm pleased to dwell in.
Amen.
See, because to truly be able to even express God, there's steps to it. You have to, I'm putting in a good order here. God has to reveal himself to you.
Yes.
He has to reveal himself to you.
Right.
That's one of the first steps that has to happen. But when he reveals himself to you, you have to believe that it's God.
Right.
You see God, you recognize that that's God,
right.
And then you profess and obey.
Amen.
Those are some simple steps. That's easy. But what happens is people don't know where God is. So then they create a tradition of what God would be, and then they listen to themselves and do whatever they want to do.
Amen.
And you go, well, Brother Jay, where are you going with this? I'm saying that there's people that are doing good works and don't know where God is.
Amen.
You got the cart before the horse. Find God first.
Yeah.
Get an understanding of where God is and listen to what God is asking you to do, because you could be doing God a service without it being his will.
Amen.
You could be doing the wrong time period, and building a boat won't help you right now. Being Noah won't help you right now. Being Moses won't help you right now. If you can go in there and find what God is asking you to do in this day, God may say, just live, and you're trying to build an ark.
Right.
You got to understand where God is at. There should be an inward teacher that agrees with the external, and both of those should be following the word.
Amen.
You got to find somebody that's bringing it word upon word. There's got to be something on you on the inside that agrees with it, and they've got to be understanding their word for this hour.
Amen.
And in this hour, you can't find God outside of finding him in flesh.
Amen.
So if you got somebody that's preaching to you a God that only resides in the Bible, you are in the wrong time period. You've got to find a present tense God that is talking to you right now.
Yes.
It's not enough to understand that Jesus died on the cross. That's a phenomenal start. Praise God for it. We all started there. But you can't stay there. My God moves.
Amen.
He moves.
Amen.
If you want to go back to the Bible and talk when God moved, those are just examples. Those are types of it. That light moved every day.
Amen.
The light moved every day. The sun. God just shows it in nature so much of how he moves every day. You see the seasons testify of him. Everything testify of God moving to restore life and get these things back together. But you look at that and people go, well, no, God's still staying the same. Matter of fact, the perfect type of it is when God was feeding the children of Israel, he fed them all the food came from the sky, and he said, don't eat it the next day.
That's right.
There are no leftovers with God. The church world wants leftovers.
Amen.
Because it's easier to hold on to what you got than to trust that God will provide for tomorrow.
Right. Amen.
And what did he do with that meal that was falling from the sky? It should at least last a day. But Pastor Moore, it didn't last. At the end of that day, it was full of maggots and wiggletails. Pentecost is full of maggots and wiggletails. It's just what it is. I can't help that. That's just what it is. That message is old. You've got to be able to have an inward teacher that leads and guides you into all truth.
Amen.
It should be a progressive ministry. It should be a progressive thing. I can't preach to you, Brother Branham, 1963, in today's time.
No.
Do you read old newspapers to get the weather?
No.
Right? No, you don't. You want something current.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the faster you can get it current, the better you feel informed. That's how even newscasters work. They want to get you something as fast as possible. They want to be at the scene, the source. Why? Because they know that's the most important information is what's going on right now. I don't got to tell you about yesterday. You want to know what's going on right now. I don't got to tell you about back in the day what Paul did, Irenaeus did, Martin did, Luther did. You want to know what's going on right now. You got a problem that's got to get fixed today. You don't got a 1963 problem. You don't got a 1965 problem. You got a 2023 problem. It's different. And then you can see it typed out so different in everything. You can see it typed out in money. You can type it out in currency. Matter of fact, when you think about even money, they'll try to do the equation. They go, well, in 1970, $1,000 then is now worth this. You can't even hold on to money. You put $100 in your pocket 100 years later, it's not $100. Not probably be $4 or $5. Right? With the way things go. You can't even hold on. But why would you want to even hold on to your ideas then? If everything around you shows that it rots and goes away, why are you holding on to the old 6 and 7 of how to even praise God? You're doing so that's silly. You gotta serve a present tense God. So how can God be present tense unless he's in a living, moving body? That's what makes God present tense, is he's got to be in flesh that's living and breathing to bring you the current news for the day.
Amen.
This Bible can only give you types and shadows, so to speak. Now, I love the Bible. I'm not going to downplay the Bible. But I'm telling you, it shows the types. And the Bible shows everything typed out. My. See, it's got to be, let's go over to John 16 and 13, not John 3:16. John 16 and 13. I get excited knowing that I got an inward teacher. Amen. A lot of times people tell me they got an inward teacher, but it doesn't agree with the Word of God.
Yeah. All right.
Sometimes you tell me you got an outward teacher and don't agree with the Word of God. Wrong teacher. Now, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to slide this in there, and I'm going to go to the scripture. But Brother Branham, even over in doing God's service without being his will, that was in that book, he was talking about how you need to be going to church regardless. You know, so that falls in line with Pastor Moore was saying, if you better have a home church. You know, a lot of times people, you know, put it off. I don't live close to a church. They don't preach what you preach or whatever excuse you want to throw in there. The Word of God said you got to have a home church.
Amen.
Word of God said you go there. Matter of fact, it goes back to even what the prophet said. So if you believe the prophet, you're going to have to believe what the Word of God said right now.
Amen.
The Word of God said you need to have a home church. Even Brother Branham over in there, he said, listen, if you go to a church, and we've heard it said, but we didn't put it that way. He said, if you can't get a whole loaf, then go get a slice. He was talking about going to another church. That's what the statement was before. He said, if you got to go to a Catholic church, go there and get what you can get. If you got to go to a Baptist church, go there and get what you can get. But you know that you're serving God. You know where God is. You're not going there to be fooled. You're going there to worship. You're going there to get around an atmosphere where you can just freely serve God and praise God. Whether they got the whole loaf or just a slice of bread, go there and feed on the Word of God for whatever you can get. See, because that's just Satan's trick to try to make you, and it'll try to create a hierarchy. What he's trying to do is try to make you think this church is better than the other church. That's not such thing. We're all serving God. We're trying to be Christian, which is Christ-like. There's no hierarchy. There's no better part to my body. My right hand's not better than my left hand. My left foot's not better than my right foot. It's just part of the body. I need all of them. I need all of them. You take away a toe and I'll walk funny. You take away a finger and I won't be able to hold things. You take away the ability to take deep breaths. That'll affect a lot of stuff. Take the ability away to be able to see clearly. That'll affect things. And that's just a little optical nerve. But I'm just telling you, you need every part of the body. You need me, I need them. But let's go over here and read John. Let's go over here and read John 16 and 13. We'll get to this. Because when you talk about leadership, you need a leader. But you can't even recognize that leader. There's got to be something on the inside of you to be able to pick that up. So verse 13, it says, verse 12, he was talking back, but I'm going to go to 13. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you.
Amen.
These church world and these high exalted preachers, they're not no bit glorifying God than themselves. They don't take the word and give it to you. They want to give you their own ideas. I don't want your own ideas. I don't want what you like. I don't want what you presume. I don't want what you're assuming. I don't want any. I don't want you thinking of what the story was. Tell me what the Word of God says only. Because a lot of times brothers get in there and they want to presume of what was going on. I don't need to presume. I read the story as it was. You tell me about the story of the centurion. I don't need to know the rest of the story. That's a man that understood what God could do and understood authority. He said, I have people that report to me. I understand how authority works. You speak the word. And matter of fact, I love what Jesus even said. He said, I've not seen greater faith. Greater faith. Then all of Israel, then this soldier right here, he understands. That soldier knew who God was. He recognized where God was. Matter of fact, so much he recognized, he said, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. Matter of fact, I got enough time if you just answer the question today. He didn't. That's what the scripture says. I don't got to go in there and assume what he was doing. I don't got to assume that he got on his knees. I don't got to assume that he prayed. I just know that when he saw God, he recognized him. He recognized him so much and said that when God speaks, I know it'll happen. Yeah. So if you could just say the word, oh, that's all I need. And he took the word and went with it. That's all you need here. You recognize where God is. Have God speak the word and just accept it for what it is and go on. You add too much on there. Do all this. Do all that. You start getting into your own ideas. Start getting into your own thoughts. Get into your own head. But I just want what the word of God wants for me. And that's it. That's all he's obligated to quicken is the word of God. That's the only thing he can't quicken. That's it. See, I love it like that. You know, Pastor Moore, you read over there. You read over in Hebrews 11 and 20. See, you were talking about Moses. And he said, God is not asking you to free the children of Israel right now. You know, he was talking about how Moses had that faith to do all those things. God's not asking you to do that right now. God's just asking you to believe the word of God. See, we want to make it so hard. God is asking me to do this. God, how do you know that? When did you hear God tell you that?
Right.
When did you hear that big old list of things that God wanted you to do?
Right.
He said, my burden is light.
Amen.
My yoke is easy.
Amen.
So why are you making it so hard?
Right.
Why are you putting all these things on this list of what God's asking you to do?
Right.
You got, God wants me to live this way. He wants me. When did he tell you that?
Right.
When did he say that? When did he tell you to do this and do that and do this and do that? It should be a love affair.
Amen.
It should be a love affair where you just in you to do it. You just want to do it. You know, when you, and I'll throw it back to the dating days. I'll throw it back to the dating days and I'll get to the married days. But when you're dating, there's not a request that could be happening. It's not. Oh, it ain't too much. You want to go out to eat? Don't even look at the bill. Don't even, who cares? Don't even. Got it. Don't even worry. Don't look at that side of the menu. Wait, what you want to get? You want three of those, four of those, three of these? Sometimes you get too much information, you start worrying about things. That's what happens when you get married, because you both know the checkbook. Yeah, y'all both know the account balance at that time. They're like, I want to get that, but we only have this, right? That's what happens then. But I'm talking about right now when we got God as the person taking control of the bill. He's taken care of. He said, I've already paid the price.
Amen.
Ask what you will. Right? Because sometimes you want to put all your ideas on it. Oh, I can't be healed because of. I can't get saved because of. I can't have a new birth because of. You're making it too hard.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I love how Pastor Moore said. He said, when you start making it too hard, let's go back to simple.
Amen.
Let's go back to simple. Let's go. Matter of fact, he even said, if you want to try to get closer to God, read your Bible and pray. Don't make it too hard. Don't go to do this. Don't go to do that. Just read your Bible and pray. Oh, but I want to fast. He said, read your Bible and pray. Do that first. Get closer that way.
Right.
Because a lot of times people go, oh, I want to get closer to God. I'm going to start downloading all the messages.
Right.
I'm going to go back. Can you give me Brother Branham's this tape? And then give me Brother Childers this tape. And then give me Pastor Moore's this tape. And then I'm going to go through study. That's great. Have you read your Bible and prayed? Make this easy for you.
Right. Right.
Have you read your Bible and prayed? You know what I got to do? I'm talking to myself. I don't even want to say we or you or that. I'm saying me. Sometimes things come on my mind. I'll be like, well, I got to get this together for church. Get that together for church. Look at this together for church. You know the only instruction Pastor Moore ever gave me to preaching? He said, why don't you just get a scripture and a verse? You know, get a quote and a scripture and come say what's on your heart. Get one quote, one scripture, and say what's on your heart. Now, I've read a couple of scriptures, had a couple of quotes. But the instruction was, I didn't have to. I worried myself up for no reason. I'm telling you, me. This is me, Brother Jay, just sharing my heart. We're family time, right? You here now. You in church now. Let me be honest now. God said, get a scripture and a quote and say what's on your heart.
Right.
And then they didn't give me any time restrictions. They didn't say I got to be up here for 74 minutes to make sure we get a good tape. They didn't say I got to do this and do that. They didn't say I got to do this and do that. I'm telling you how you add stuff.
Amen.
I'm telling you how you keep putting stuff on there that God didn't put on the list. I'm telling you how you keep putting on there, well, I got to make sure if I did sing a song, it's not a song somebody else sang. Or if I get up and testify, I want to make sure I talk about something that somebody else didn't testify about. No, if you get up here and sing the same song that I just sang, if God was putting it on your heart, then just do what he said.
Amen.
If you get up here and sing, God has smiled on me and I sang it already, so what? You're not singing for me anyway. I'm not singing for you anyway. I'm singing to God. And if he wants to hear that song four times, then that's what he put on your heart.
Amen.
You put all this isms and ideas and that and this. Oh, well, this is that sister's song. None of those are their songs. These are all songs for God. I'm not singing it for this sister or that sister anyway. I'm not preaching for this one or that one anyway. I'm here because I have a need. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I have needs. I've got a family. I've got people. I've got this and that is depending on me. I'm not here for you. I'm here for myself. Because if I was here for you, I'd let everything that you're doing distract me. If I was here for you, I'd worry what time you got here. If I was here for you, I'd be worrying what you're wearing. If I was here for you, I'd worry how your job was going. I don't care how your job is going. I don't care how your kids are going. I don't care how your life is going. I'm here for the Word of God. That's why I'm getting closer and closer to the front so I can have less distractions on what you're doing. I just want to see what God wants. That's why I'm here. That's why Pastor Moore sits right there. He wants zero distractions. He needs zero distractions because he knows all of our life. So he can read us all that way. He knows us. But I'm just here for the Word of God and the Word of God only. Why? That's not what that inward teacher's calling for. He's only calling for the Word of God only. That's all he wants. That's all he's here for. That's all he's trying to get. You know, there's a story over there in leadership. And there's this guy that Brother Branham and him wanted to go hunting. You guys probably know this story, but it just touched me. Brother Branham wanted to go hunting. And they went up to this guy that had a big field and got about 75 years old, mean guy. And they knew he was mean. So Brother Branham told his buddy, you go ask him, can we hunt? Because if I get out, he'll know I'm a preacher and he won't let us hunt. The guy goes out, he talks to him. He's like, yeah, I want to go hunt. The guy's like, I don't see no problem with it. He's like, well, I'm not by myself. Well, who are you with? Well, I got a preacher in the car. Let me meet him. I don't like preachers. Brother Branham meets him, talks to him. The guy's like, listen, they call me the old, great, cranky infidel. And he said, okay. Brother Branham's like, I don't know why you'd brag about that. And he said, well, because all these preachers just take people's money. Because God's not real, is what he's saying. And Brother Branham just sat there and listened. And this is the most vindicated prophet of ever. Standing before him. And listening to him, the man says, I've been living here for 75 years. I've never seen God one time. Never seen God. Lives on this big, huge land. All the seasons, everything's coming and going. Never seen God. And he said, you know what? If I was to believe God, this is why it's so funny. Because people don't even recognize who's in front of them. No. Happens all the time. He said, if I was to believe God, I believe this one guy that was preaching down on over there, and he healed this. He had discernment, knew this person's name, gave him a cloth, told him to give it to this other person that was sick, and that person is healed. If I was to believe a God, and the brother was about to start talking, Brother Branham was like, don't say anything, because it was Brother Branham. He was like, don't say anything. He was like, if I was to believe God, I'd believe that guy. I'd believe he was a preacher because he wasn't from here. He discerned her, healed her. I seen that lady, and the lady had been basically an invalid for a whole time and then had the ability to eat apples. And he saw her eating apples. He was like, I saw her eating fried apples with her husband. I know that man healed her because I saw her sick. I saw her well. Now, this is what Brother Branham did. So wise, so wisdom. He goes through and he says, but you've seen nature, though, brother. What makes the sap come down off the tree? What makes the leaves fall? What makes them go into the ground to make sure the tree can grow to do fruit? And he's like, well, that's just naturally nature. And he's like, well, who tells it to do it? Who tells it to do it? Now, Brother Branham could have said, I'm that preacher you're talking about. I'm the guy that healed that lady. He could have turned into that way, but he was just pointing to the nature that was around him. He said, this is what's going on. This is God all around you. Matter of fact, he said, so the brother was like, well, it's just naturally like that. He just kept saying that over and over again. He said, well, if you put a bucket of water on the porch, Does anything tell it that the water to get out of there, go down and go into the ground? So this said, no, it ain't naturally like that. But on that tree, that sap, somebody's telling it to do what it needs to do. Oh, Brother Brandon was talking to him and eventually got that man over to Christ. But as I looked at that, I go, a lot of times you don't even know who's sitting there talking to you. You have your idea on what God could look like. Matter of fact, he said it to him when Brother Branham said he was a preacher. He said, you don't look like a preacher, because Brother Branham had on dirt and scrubbing, and he had, what he said, squirrel blood and dirt all over him. And so the guy said, you don't look like a preacher. He said, good. A lot of times you come in here, oh, this don't look like a church full of believers. We are. Yeah, you just say, you might start quoting stories about what's happened here. If I didn't believe a church, I'd believe a church that had brought somebody back from the dead. Oh, okay. That would be a church that you should believe. If I did believe a church, it'd be a church that knew all things, that could go into the book of Revelation and preach it word for word, that could go into the book of Genesis, that could tell me who God was before he was God. It'd be a if I did believe God, it'd be a group of people that tell me where I go when I die. If I did believe God, it'd be a group that tell me where my loved ones go when they pass away. If I did believe God, I'd want somebody to tell me God's eternal plan throughout the whole ages and how he built a bride. That would be the church I'd believe if I did believe God. But guess what? You're standing in the midst right now. I am that church. I am that group of people that knows what it is from beginning to end. I can tell you who God was before he was God, and I can tell you where I go when I leave here. Oh, my. Do you even realize where you're sitting? You're sitting in a place that people would die to be able to just hear one word from God. When you recognize that this is God, there is nothing that you can't ask for. You're sitting in the presence of God right now.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Jay. Oh, what about this? What about that? Don't make it hard. Don't put anything on there. If you can believe the words that I'm saying, then that's that inward voice agreeing with this outward voice, and it lines up with the scripture perfectly.
Amen.
Oh, my. Why? How can I say that? Because you know what? 90-some percent of church, they tell you you're going to get to God when you die. They skip right over the verse that says over in Thessalonians that there should be a group that is alive and remain when he returns. There's got to be a group. It's in the Bible. It says there's got to be a group of people that are alive and remain. See, I don't want to skip over that verse. Why? Because you're talking about me now. Oh, it was great to hear what happened with Moses. It was great to hear what happened to David and Goliath. It was great to hear what happened with Solomon. But a greater than Solomon is here right now. There is a gotta be. It wasn't one individual. See, a lot of times when you read those stories, you're reading about one individual. But I'm talking about there's gotta be a group. See, I'm not even just putting it in me. I'm not just saying I'm the only one with it, because it can't just be me or it wouldn't match the scripture. It can't just be an individual or it wouldn't match the scripture. There's got to be a group of people that are alive and remain that knows what it is. And Pastor Moore, you quoted it and quoted it and quoted it. But Brother Branham said, what are you going to do when you get that group together that knows what it is? Then the rapture can go.
That's right.
What? The rapture? Who's preaching about the rapture? We are, because we're going to be in the rapture. And the rapture is the most important thing to me, because that's the only thing that's next.
Amen.
See, in the order of events, that's got to be next.
Amen.
That's next. I don't need another Messiah.
No.
I don't need somebody else to pay the price.
Amen.
I don't need the scriptures restored. I don't need the seals open. I don't need the book to be. I don't need anything else done. I don't need a great flood. I don't need a great falling away. I don't need anything else. I don't even need the word restored. That's all been fulfilled. Right now, the only thing left on our plate is to get out of here.
That's it.
See, when you don't even know the orders, let me tell you how you can get messed up. If you don't know the orders of events and you think the tribulation is before the rapture, then you have a reason to get worried about the tribulation. You'd have a reason to be worried about it. Well, what am I going to do? How long is the tribulation? I don't care how long the tribulation is. I forget, how many years is it, Brother Jeremiah? 3.5 years? 3.5 years? Shows you I don't pay attention to it. Well, I'm not going to be here for that. Not talking to me. I don't got to have rationed meals, money in the account, a bunker for atomic fallout. I'm not worried about that. That's not my scripture. I'll be at the wedding supper. That's my 3.5 years. That's going concurrently with the tribulation. That's my 3.5 years. That's what I'm worried about, is what I'm going to be doing at the wedding supper. Who's all going to be there? I'm getting my invitations together. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about what you're doing while I'm sitting there eating. Not worried about it. But the church world, I have you worried about the tribulation. They say, well, you got to make sure. What are you going to do during that great da-da-da? I won't be here. What part of I won't be a part of that? He won't have his bride a part of that. You can go back through the Bible and it talks about Joseph when he put things back. He talked, that's the type of this. Put his bride away in the castle, but that's us. God's put us away. I'm not worried about that. In the palace, thank you. I said the castle. It's a big house. But the palace is what it says, so the palace is the right word. But I look at that and I go, see, but if you don't know that, then when they're talking about the Great Tribulation, then you're going to be paying attention. And you're like, well, what happens during the tribulation? Who's fighting during that time period? Well, when Russia does this and that happens here and the stock market does this and this goes on, then you're worried about it. But if you're in this group, it doesn't matter. I thank God that I know what matters. I thank God that I serve a God that said, can I hide anything? Amen. That's what my God said to me. See, a lot of times people, and I'm just showing you the types of the different, how the church world preaches. They preach about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm talking about God up on the mountain talking to Abraham. There's two different groups. There's always two different groups. Sodom and Gomorrah was destined to fail no matter what happened. They sent those angels down there and didn't save anybody. Matter of fact, when he was up there talking to Abraham, Abraham was like, well, if it was this many people, would you save it? If it was this many people, would you save it? He was just counting down. Lord, if it was 50, 40, 30, 10, 20, if it was 5, he was just saying, could you save it? They're not down there. If there were, I'd save it. God was answering him so quick, Abraham was like, well, hold on, wait, 10 then. Because he started off high. They started cutting down the number. If there was this many people in Sodom, would you save it? Nope. But I'm looking at it now. I'm saying, this is the group of Abraham. Amen. This is Abraham's seed. I'm sitting up there talking to God, fellowship with him, lift the ear. And he said to him, can I hide anything? Right. Nothing's hidden from me. The seals have been opened. That means the whole Bible is no longer a mystery. It's no longer going in thunders. It's no longer going in symbols. I have the key to everything. I have the author here telling me everything that goes there. I'm able to read between the lines. I'm not adding anything to the Bible. I'm not saying I'm some great this and that. I'm just telling you I have the ability to put this Bible in order that the world can't do. I understand how to do the combination in the book of Revelations to let me know what was going on with the horse rider, what was going on with the candlesticks, what was going on here. There's people out there that don't even want to look into the book of Revelations. And that's the only book we quote out of every service. Because there's got to be a group that's able to take the entire book and eat it. Do you know to even be able to take the book and eat it, that means you can open it and look into it? Before the seals were opened, the book was sealed up, and the Bible, you didn't have access to the whole Bible. The book of Revelation even starts off by saying this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't even know who Christ is without the book of Revelations. You don't have a full revelation of who even Jesus and what he came to do without the book of Revelations. All you got is good news, is that's just the gospel, that Jesus Christ died. That's all you have, but you got to know the whole story. Why did he die? Who did he die for? Is there a group? Who's the bride then? Because if you got him as a groom stage, he didn't want to be only by himself. That's the full story of the Bible. It's a redemption love story. Amen. Matter of fact, it types out, even when you talk about Adam and Eve, Adam had dominion of the whole earth. He had access to everything. And he said, I see they have this and they have that. But no, I don't have a mate. He wanted somebody to fellowship that he could commune with day and night. That's why Eve came. Amen. That was the first Eve. Yeah. But she was predestinated to fall. Right. She was plumbed. I like to say plumbed because that's what you use. Plumbed to fall. She had the organs in her to fail. Amen. She had things in her to fall apart and to deny the word. She had that ability. She had the ability to deny the word of God. But over in the Bible it says it won't even be possible. He said it'll get so bad that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. Who's the elect? The bride. It's not possible to deceive this Eve. This is the bride of Jesus Christ. We came from Jesus. He couldn't deny the word, and I can't deny the word. Amen. I can't even agree with somebody that is denying the word. Matter of fact, that's what got Adam kicked out of the garden, is that he went along with false stuff. He said, I'll cover for you, Eve. I'll go with you. I'll step out with you. I don't have the ability to step out. Jesus ain't stepping out. I ain't stepping out. This bride is going all the way. I look at that. What? How do you know that? That's that inward teacher telling me. Agreeing with that outward teacher, letting it line up with the word of God. Because it's not just enough to find somebody. If you don't have something going on the inside, you still don't have it. Because it's got to be more than just somebody preaching it to you. It's got to be more than just hoping that they got enough God for you. It's got to be more than just relying on the ministry to have God. You got to have God for yourself.
Amen.
And that God should agree with my God, and we should be following the word of God for the day and hour that we live in. If I start telling you to build a boat, there should be something on the inside of you that says that just doesn't add up. If I tell you we got to go feed the children of Israel, there should be something on the inside of you that goes, that just doesn't make sense. But when I tell you, and you must be born again, you should be able to go, that ain't nothing but the truth. When I tell you it comes without no sensation, you should be able to go, that's nothing but the truth. That lines up with the word of God. When I tell you that you should be able to find the Son of Man and a Son of Man, that should line up with nothing but the truth. You should be able to see God and don't even look at flesh. That should be able to line up. You go, I can see how that works. I can see how God is speaking, because we've all fallen short.
Amen.
You know, I even look at that scripture and said, all have sinned, disbelieved,
right.
And fallen short. But that old soul that sinned is no longer here no more.
No,
I can't sin no more. I'm not continually sinning. I'm not sin anymore.
No.
I don't live in sin anymore.
No.
My soul is God.
Amen.
I cannot deny the word.
Amen.
Sin does not exist here.
That's right.
Unbelief does not exist here.
No,
see, a lot of times the church world, they try to skew that. And what happens is most of the time it's with pastors. They try to skew that and go, well, I can't do any wrong. That's not what I said. I can't sin.
Right.
I can do wrong. I can go over the speed limit. That's wrong. The laws of gravity can get you. You could jump off a building, which would be dumb and wrong, and hurt yourself. Those are wrongs. See, you're trying to put sin and wrong together. Sin is unbelief. That's why all that have sinned must be annihilated. Because when we get over there, no unbelief will exist. It will be burned out to root and stubble, all unbelief. He's not burning the earth off. He's burning the sin off. This earth will still be here. Oh, my. See, you've tried to put all these ideas on what it is. Oh, I'll no longer smoke. That's not what it said. You can add that on there if you want for yourself. If you got a personal conviction, that's what you're adding. But that has nothing to do with the word of God. That's a personal conviction that you have as a believer. And if that's you, God calling you, that inward teacher telling you to step up and do these things, fine. That's what he's talking to you about.
Amen.
Don't put that on me. He didn't tell me that.
Right.
He didn't.
No.
I don't smoke, but I'm telling you, he didn't tell me that. I didn't have to.
Right.
He never once told me that.
Right.
It's never been a conviction. I just don't do it. But that ain't not. So if you have that, who am I to tell you what to do? I don't even have that pull. I don't even know what the pain is. I don't know what it. I wouldn't even know how to do it. But what I'm getting at is, it's not hard for me to put down some Marlboros. I don't smoke. It'd be nothing to be like, yeah, you're right. These stink. You go, see, God must be with him. No, that ain't the evidence. That ain't the evidence. Because I got chocolate ice cream that I like that you might not like, right? The vanilla and chocolate. I got things that I like to do that you may not be able to do.
Right.
But that's just how this thing works. There's got to be that inward teacher just leading and guiding you.
Amen.
But it's still got to line up with the word of God.
Amen.
And I love to make it even simple. Like, if you're still struggling with different things, go, well, if anything's taking me away from God,
yeah,
and you identify where God is, you know, this is the easy place to say. 1744 Superior is where God is at. Anything that takes you away from God is satanic.
Amen.
Start there. Don't add anything else to it.
No.
Anything start getting in the way of your church schedule, start cutting back on it. Whoa. My priorities are being where God is. Because the scripture says, forsake not to gather yourself that much more together as you see the day approaching. So if you see that day approaching, you should be gathering yourself that much more to where God's people are. And start there. Build on that. Build on that. Build on that. It'll just get easier and easier. You know, they always used to say, if you want something done, get somebody that's already busy. Because they'll schedule it accordingly. And they'll get it done. Somebody's just laying around all day. They'll never do it. They've spent their whole life procrastinating. They've figured out so much how to procrastinate that they're laying around right now. That's why they won't get what you're wanting done. Find somebody that's busy, and they'll get it done. And then we tease my kids, and we'll say this, because me and Jonathan sometimes, we procrastinate. See, I'm getting myself. I'm not throwing this on y'all. And you know the best way to get somebody to stop procrastinating? You overload them. You kept giving them a bunch of work. You give them a bunch of work and things that's got to get done. That'll help them get out of that procrastination. That'll fix it. Sometimes you want to be like, oh, just give them one thing and get them. No, give them 100 things. You got to get this done by the end of the day. I'll tell you guys this and I'll get out of here. One time I was painting with Brother Jim and I was procrastinating. Young kid. Playing around. He's laughing because he knows what happened. It was before cell phones. I didn't have a watch. And we had to get something done by 5 o'clock. And I was just playing around. I was like, well, I'll get it done. It's like paint spindles or something. I'll be finished with this. I'll take my time. I'll do one every 30 minutes. Take my time. Don't want to be here anyway. Give me $4 an hour or whatever. Well, I don't know what it was. Maybe two, right? Two. And I was just taking my time. Brother Jim come over, and he's a good leader. He'd been taught how to lead. Come over, and he goes, you know, we got to get this done by the end of the day. I'm like, yep, sure do. I know we're going to get it done by the end of the day. So you know what time it is? I was like, uh-uh. I think he said something like 4 o'clock. Now, really, it was like 1 o'clock. And I was like, oh, my God, we only got an hour? He's like, yep, and you said you're going to have this done by the end of the day. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Overdrive. I start working. I started working how I should have been working, and we probably could have got lunches those days. But I started working, getting it done. I got it done in an hour. He come over, and he's just smiling. Shows me what time it really is. I'm like, You got me, right? I could have got it done, but that's just an example. I'm just showing you that if you're trying to help somebody, just start putting it on them. The best thing that you can do if you think you're backwards in church, start just jumping out there. Amen. Just start jumping out there. Let God, you know, let Pastor Moore's story be an inspiration to you. He didn't know how to play the piano. He just saw that the need was there and went up there. And I love how even honest he said. He said, church, I don't know how to play this, but I'm going to just hit one or two keys as I'm figuring this out because this thing is too pretty to be sitting over here by itself. Now, this is me assuming. I'm throwing this out there. I'm sure there was somebody in the church that knew how to play the piano at that time. But God put it on there, and that person's probably not here anymore. And Pastor Moore's here playing, and he's been a blessing this whole time. He trusted what God could do. He went out there, embarrassed himself. That's embarrassing. Get up. That's very embarrassing. You get up there and you're hanging it, right? Andrea, you know, you're over here, you're practicing, you're trying to learn, and everybody's singing, and they're still going on, and you're still like, well, it's a lot of keys here. There's nothing that says what they are, right? And you're just going along. That's just the piano. But you got it so easy. God said, just testify. I'll put a mic there. No time limit on. Just tell what God's done for you. And you come up here and go, well, I don't know. I'm not asking you to play the piano. I'm not telling you to play the trumpet. I'm not telling you to go home and practice the instrument. Just testify what God's done for you. Hasn't he done something for you today? My goodness, you ain't got to go back to 2021 to tell me what God done for you. What did he do today? Oh, you know what? God got me here. I'm in my right mind, and I praise him. Sit down. That's it. Sister Spears would say, when I see where he's brought me from to where I am today, it'll turn her on. Yeah. Why? Because she did what God said to do. Just step out on there. She didn't get up here to try to preach. She didn't get up here to get some long thing. She didn't get up here to tell me about 400 years ago. She came up here to tell me what God did for her today. I can say that same testimony when I get here and I see what God is doing in my life. When I can see where I am right now and where he's brought me from, whoa, my heart cries out. You took me from some lazy, slow, procrastinating kid that couldn't get things done, that needed somebody watching over me all the time, to somebody that's got a key to the church that can get the job done. If you need somebody to sit sing, preach, and pray with no other ministers here. I'll get the job done. They're not going to leave here worried. Pastor Moore doesn't go on trips worried. Oh, I hope Jay shows up. Oh, I hope Pete makes sure he gets the job done. Jeremiah, don't worry. Oh, is he going to have to lead song service and preach? Poor him. No, he ain't worried about that. He knows he's going to get the job done.
Yeah.
Why? That's growth. That's somebody that's been up in progress in this thing. That's somebody that can be dependable in this thing. Why? Because this is my job. I take this thing seriously. I'm maturing this thing now. You should be too, whatever your job is. Whether you're a housewife, whether you're cleaning the church, whatever it is, whatever your job is, you should be able to take that thing seriously. There should be something on the inside of you that has a sense of obligation for the house of God to say, the most important thing is getting this word out. If I'm just one of the amens on there to let them know that this thing is supported, just be that. Why? We got people listening in from the Philippines, California, Africa, Indonesia, New Zealand, wherever. They're over there. I want them to hear that there's somebody that supports this thing here. I don't want them thinking I'm preaching to nobody. I want them to know that there's a group of believers, a group of believers. It wouldn't be enough if I was just preaching by myself. I can't preach to myself. He said where two or three are gathered. It's got to be a group. God's always in the group. And then he said, then I'll be in the midst. All this time, these people want to just preach by themselves. You can't preach to yourself. You can talk to yourself. You ain't preaching to yourself. You need a hearer and a speaker. You need a sender and a receiver. That's truth communication. You're just talking to yourself. Don't tell me you're preaching. That's not how it works. I love this thing. I love what God's doing here. I praise God for y'all. God bless you.
Thank God for the inside teacher.
Amen.
I like the way he said it. He said, you know, if you didn't have something on the inside of you, and all you had, you could even be amongst real teachers.
Right.
I mean, a real God-given, God-sent teacher. And if you don't have a teacher in you, the inside teacher, then it still do you no good. There's many people that Jesus ran across that he wasn't able to help. And though they were with him and he was a true teacher, he still couldn't help them because they had not the inside teacher on the inside of themselves. That's what Jesus said in St. John 8. I always quote that. Why can't you hear my word? Even because it has no place in you.
Amen.
Even though he was a true teacher and they walked up to him, they could not receive the word.
Amen.
So it takes us and it takes you.
Amen.
And you thank God for the outside teacher.
Right.
And but most of all, thank God for the inside teacher.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of people that don't really have that teacher, and they will walk right away from. If they had the teacher, there's none of them would have walked away from Jesus.
Right.
They did what they did because they didn't know who he was.
Amen.
And many of them walk away from you because they don't know who you are.
Amen.
They don't have that inside teacher.
Amen.
But I'm thankful to God that I've got that inside teacher.
Amen.
I'm thankful to God that when the words preach, I can hear it.
Amen.
When the words preach, I say amen to it. I can't do anything else. I have to say amen to the word because the word is right. When I'm wrong, the word is right. When that outside teacher tells me, Nate, you're wrong here, I got to say, amen, drop it. My inside teacher says, he's telling you right. Get with it. That's what that inside teacher does. Thank God for that teacher. Sis, you got something? Come on now.
Was hurting and felt swollen. I had on and I said, well, ask what I will.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, and it feels so much, it feels better. Amen. It doesn't hurt at all.
Amen.
So I listened to the voice.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it. Listen to that inside teacher. Amen. Come on, musicians.
Amen.
It's funny. I've got a call tonight. From Brother Bean, he says, greet the body. continue to pray for him. And I got a call. It's really funny, people. I'm not doing this. I was at work today, and Brother Smiley from Florida called me. And so he's going to call me next week. And I got a text from Brother Rosaldo who said, I told him, I said, I was going to text you. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a call in a couple of days. And it's like, and I got a call from Brother Tony. He's planning on trying to be here probably. He's got a trip to Canada, and he's planning on coordinating being in Ohio. He's going to be in Troy, so he's trying to coordinate the time that he can be here when he comes through town. So welcome to 2023. Amen. Have faith in God. That's what he wants you to do. Have faith in the God that's inside of you. Trust that God. And if it's leading you to the Word, that's God. If it's leading you away from the Word, that's not God. Listen to the one that leads you to the Word, and he will do whatever he needs to do in your life. I'm thankful for this message. And I'm not just thankful for the message, because it almost makes it small when you say I'm thankful for the message. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Amen. And what he's done for us, and he has given us in all ages. It's been the same in every age. The evidence has been the same in every age. The believer followed the Word. Amen. Brother Branham said, when I was trying to find out who was the messenger of the church ages, he looked to the person who followed Paul's writing the closest. And when I look for the bride in the hour that we're living in, I'm looking for people who follow the Word the closest. Amen. Oh, you might be short here, you might be short here, but you're a long ways ahead of anything that's out there. You're listening to God. You're listening to that inside voice, and that inside voice has gotten you right here. Come back on a Sunday morning expecting, and also we'll start again with Bible study on Sunday night. It seems like people want to keep going, so amen. I'll have faith in God and keep coming back. Amen. I appreciate all of you. Appreciate you coming out tonight. Pray for the church. Pray for God's guidance on which direction he wants us to go, because there's a lot of things going on, and God knows what he wants done. I don't want to just do, and I don't want to just go. I want to go where God wants us to go. It makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Have faith in God. Yes,
you're dismissed.